Welcome to There She Glows. Welcome to episode 4. I am excited to have my sister Lydia with me. How are you doing?
Hi, Georgia. I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for accepting our invitation and being a part of TSG family. We appreciate that of you. I know you're busy, but you found time for us, so we appreciate that a lot.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself, because some people definitely probably don't know you, never heard of you. So could you introduce yourself? Who is Lydia?
Okay, so Lydia Capps is a worshipper. I am, my last name, my full last name is Cabaselli. So Cabs is just short for Cabaselli. I am, like I said, a worshipper, a minister through music. I am a daughter, a sister. I'm a daughter of the late pastor, Dr. Paul Cabaselli, and my mother, whose name is Mrs. Nicole Ngoi. She's still alive. I am the second born. I come from a family of 6 children. So in a nutshell, that's who Lydia Cabs is.
Nice. I'm also a worshiper myself, so we kind of have something in common there.
Nice.
Yes, for the kingdom.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so have you ever, I think my question is, have you ever had the opportunity to preach the word?
You know what? Funny enough, that's a very good question. I thought that I only had a gift of, music, ministering through music. But after my dad had passed, obviously we're going to go really deep into this, but just to open the bracket, after my dad passed, it's like God now revealed to me that there was more to just Lydia, the, music minister. So yes, I've had opportunity to preach the gospel. I actually do lead prayer, and when I get the opportunity to preach, I do preach at my church.
Do you remember what was your first preaching? Were you nervous?
Oh, I was very nervous. The way it happened, it was not planned. So we have this, so after the pandemic, everything went online, like church services and stuff. So we have this midweek service that we hold every Tuesday. So it's a prayer service that we hold online on our YouTube channel. So the person who was supposed to lead that day could not make it. And I was just supposed to be beside them, just leading worship, so they couldn't make it, and I had to step up. So I was like, okay, God, I've never preached before. I don't know why this is happening, why me, but Holy Spirit, you just lead the way. Whatever you want to use me for, let's do it. So I just started encouraging
recording
people.
In progress.
I started encouraging people, and before I knew it, I was actually preaching. I remember I preached on, it was Isaiah 56, or was it? I can't remember, but the message was, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he's near. And I was just encouraging people, like, we are in the very crucial time when we look around, the signs, the prophecies that have been given in scriptures, that Jesus is on his way,
right.
So now is the time to seek him, to not wait until it's too late. Seek him while he may be found, call on him while he's near. And I was just going, and I didn't know what I was actually going to talk about, but because I was willing, so the Holy Spirit then took control. And that's one thing as well, I can encourage somebody with this. When you are willing, to let go, that's all God is waiting for you to just allow yourself, let go, and he will use you and work through you and do amazing things. So
for first preaching, that's very powerful. Do you know how long was it for, like an hour or
Oh, I think we went on for an hour. Yes.
Wow.
It was an hour, and they actually had to stop me. Yes, and I was shocked myself. They had to stop me. They were like, "Yeah, we're going overtime." So. Yeah.
You know, I think what you said is so true. When you're willing, the Holy Spirit, like, he's looking for an empty vessel. So when you're willing, he'll just put more and more, because he wants to talk to his people. And not a lot of people are willing to listen to the Spirit of God. And so when he finds someone that he can pour out everything and the person will deliver, he will
absolutely
go on. I remember my first time too, I preached. It took me about 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Wow.
And the same thing, my pastor had to come up on stage and take away the microphone, like, it's okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. You know, when we just let go, he just flows. You know, he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So it just flows.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And my first preaching was about, it was most about my testimony, what I went through. And I think that sometimes we go through things so that we can speak to people out there. You know, it's always better to talk to someone who went through the same thing that you did than someone who may not have an idea. Because me, I remember when I went through when I was going through depression, I didn't find anyone. And those times, I think it was like 2012, not a lot of people were open on the fact that they were going through depression or they've been in depression. And so I thought I was the weird one. I'm like, what is this happening to me? Why am I feeling like this? So I didn't have anybody to talk to, because you don't really feel comfortable to just go to someone and tell them, I'm feeling this. You feel like they won't understand. And I think the best way also to communicate is through our testimonies. And that's why I absolutely love this episode, because we're really going to touch based on what we go through or things that we've been through to help people that might be struggling with the same thing, even in ministry, or even not in ministry, in your social life. Things that has happened to you, but you still have to wake up in the morning, you still have to go to work, you still have to go to to minister, preach, sing, whatever that you have to do. You, like, life goes on. And when events like that happens in our life, you need some kind of supernatural strength, because we cannot do it on our own. And I remember my husband actually absolutely loves that worship that you did. I think I posted it on my page on Sunday, where you were just like, you just surrender. Like, I don't know. I'm also a worshiper. I understand that. You just, like, let go. Like, all your efforts, all your, my voice has to sound this way. You just, like, it's like you had a deep breath, like, Lord, I cannot do it by myself. I cannot do it without you. And I absolutely love that. And I think that's where we all need to be when we're going through a hard situation. We need to remind ourselves that God is near. He's holding our hand, and he's going to get us through. And I think on that, I think I want to ask you a question about, I know you haven't, like, the past 2 years have not been easy for you. I think the question is, how did you, like, overcome certain things, like, especially when your dad passed? I saw you kept working. Like, I don't know if social media is different from real life, but I kept seeing you posting, ministering, and things like that. I was really motivated to see that. I'm like, okay, if she's going through that. I remember it was the around the pandemic season. My husband went to Paris, and then he was stuck there. He couldn't come back for like 7 months. I was by myself. So many things was happening to me. And when I saw that you kept posting, you kept ministering, you kept serving, posting interesting, like, motivating verses, it made me realize that, you know, there are some people that are going through worse, but they still find that courage. They still lean on God for strength. So what was your secret your secrets during that time?
Honestly, at that time, going back to the pandemic, you know, when my dad was in a coma. So my dad was in a coma for quite a while. Mm-hmm. You know, this was 2020. Yeah, that's when the whole world went into a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I would say, of course, you know, my faith in God kept me going. But what really kept me going, I would say, sis, is having people who are rooted in the word, people who, you know, God placed around me that could uplift me. Mm-hmm. Because if I tell you that I went through this by myself, I would be lying. Mm-hmm. And that's the importance of us, you know, surrounding ourselves with people who, you know, have strong faith in God, because there are going to be a time where you will face the storm and right. you will need people to uplift you. So, yeah, so it is very important to, you know, surround yourself with, you know, Christian people, Christian community that will be able to uplift you in moments like this. So going back into 2020 pandemic, you know, we faced the pandemic, so it was just me, my mom, and my siblings at home. Mm-hmm. You know how the pandemic was. We couldn't go out. Exactly. No one could go out. No one could do anything. Mm-hmm. So my dad was taken to the hospital where he was kept there. They kept him there to monitor his oxygen level and stuff. So we thought that my dad was going to come back, because when the paramedics came to take him away, we were really reassured that we are going to see him again. He was just going for checkups and it was nothing. So the first day he went, he didn't come back. We was like, okay, let's wait for the second day. Mm-hmm. Second day he went. So he just went on. So fear now started, mm-hmm. Coming in. I'm not going to lie, we were scared. And it is that at that moment that, you know, God, you know, when the Bible says, yeah, that all things work together for mm-hmm. the good of them who yes. love the Lord.
Yes.
Sis, at that time, my mom was, I have never seen, how can you explain someone whose husband is away in the hospital? In a coma, but she was the one pushing us to pray. She was the one really, you know, waking. I remember we had this schedule of waking up every 5 a.m. in the morning. Mm. She will wake us up, let's pray. We need to pray. We need to intercede. And I was looking at this woman like, are you crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Your husband is in the hospital. You were supposed to be, you know, we were supposed to be the one uplifting you. And mm-hmm. you are the, and that's what God does.
Yeah.
In moments like that, the Bible says that God is our refuge and strength
mm-hmm.
and ever-present help in times of trouble.
Okay.
So in moments like that, because of the faith in God we had,
right.
although we were scared, although we were shaken, but there was just that firm foundation,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is God. We were shaken, yes, but we didn't break.
Right.
Because God kept us going. So, yeah, to answer your question, my faith in God, yes, but most importantly, the people around me kept me going.
That is so important. Sometimes we neglect, you know, we get to a season in our lives where, okay, the Lord is taking me places, the Lord is lifting me up, we will say lifting me up, and then I don't need this person around me. But it's so important sometimes to have the people that could help you. And I think
exactly.
our generation, we're falling into that trap, because everybody can see vision. Everybody is now a worshiper. Everybody is now preaching the word that we think that we're holier than the holiest. So you are self-sufficient. No, sometimes they always tell me, like, find yourself someone that's going to help you either in your prayer life, that's going to help you. Because in times, sometimes when you go through things, you need those people around. It's so, so important to find a friend or a pastor, anybody that could keep you strong. Wow, that's so amazing. But did you also, like, I know the churches were closed. Did you continue serving as well, or were you just at home?
During the pandemic, no, we couldn't go to church. So we carried on doing church activities online. Mm-hmm. So our activities, I think just like every other churches, you know, mm-hmm. during the pandemic, mm-hmm. we went online and our Bible studies were online. And that was still when my father was in hospital. So we would still be leading. But at that time, I didn't know that mm-hmm. one day God was going to use me to actually lead mm-hmm. Bible study or, you know, preach the word. So I was still on that level of, I'm just a minister right. through music, nothing right. more. But that season was actually a season of preparation exactly. for me. Yes.
Wow. That mm-hmm. I always tell my friends, that is why it's so important to keep to read your Bible.
Yes.
That's why it's so important to study the word, because you never know when the day will come the Lord just picks mm-hmm. you out of the group and puts you out there to preach. And the actually I also it reminds me the story of Job in the Bible, mm-hmm. how Job lost absolutely everything, mm-hmm. but he never cursed God. Even his wife told him that, you know, curse God so you can die. But despite mm-hmm. everything that he was going through, he lost absolutely everything. He kept going. And mm-hmm. I also remember when I actually started going to church, and I went through a season where, you know, it was like, it's so crazy. Like when I see my life now, I can mm-hmm. put it in the book. It makes complete sense, because sometimes we don't understand what the Lord is doing in our life. We don't understand why you might be going through what you're going through, or why you lost a certain person in your life, you know. Mm-hmm. It's for a purpose. God has a purpose in our life, because mm-hmm. When I was going through that season of my life, I was at church. First, I left the world. I was, one day I'm going to talk about my testimony again, but I was into alcohol. I was into so many things, smoking when I was in the world, because I was confused. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who the Lord has called me to be. And so when I had finally gave my life to Christ, I came to church. Me in my mind thinking, okay, now everything is supposed to be perfect. Like, I'm supposed to feel good all the time. I'm supposed to be happy all the time. And people are supposed to love me and not judge me. And let me tell you how it got even worse when I got to church. I was feeling sad all the time. That's when I actually started my depression. And it was a season where the Lord was just taking out, because there was a lot of things that I was attached to, and the Lord was taking it away so that he can bring me where I was supposed to be. And in that season, those seasons where the Lord is like removing things, it's very critical for you to pay attention. It's either going to yes. make you or break you. That's like a preparation stage for you. So I was in that season. I was depressed. I got really sick, which the Lord mysteriously healed me like 2 years ago. I got really sick. I had a problem with my heart, and it was awful, because I was telling myself, okay, church is supposed to be like a place of refuge. You're supposed to, you know, God is with you, so nothing can work against you. But we just think that God is like a genie or something, where you come in and everything is fine. But in times of trouble, we also have to remember to keep our faith strong.
Yes.
To always remain in the word. But in that season, I wasn't able. I think my one thing that I will advise people is that to always ask God to use you even in the times of trouble. I don't know. That's how I see it, because I was, I had a sister that needed me in that moment as well. But because I was going through my own things, I completely shut everybody out. I think my question for you is like, what happened when you were going through that difficult time? Were you able to be like someone else's shoulder to cry on, or were you like, just, you know, you were just getting the help to get strong and all that?
That's actually a good question, and thank you for sharing your that part of your testimony, which is very very important. And what I picked from that is there is something you said that is when you got to church that your depression got even stronger, right?
Yeah.
And you said something as well, that church is supposed to be a place of refuge for people to. And I'm going to answer your question, but I just wanted to pick this bit that really stood out for me while you were talking. It's very important to know, for anyone listening to this or probably going through something, you were going to church and you feel like, oh, you know what? Nothing's getting better. I'm going to stop going to church. Jesus said, in this world, you will have troubles.
Right.
But he said something. He said, fear not, for I have overcome the world.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say we will have it easy.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say we will have, you know, there's this phrase now that's going around. I don't know, maybe it's just here in the UK or maybe in America as well. Soft life.
Okay. No, I don't know it.
Yeah, okay. So here there's this say that everyone's using. Oh, I choose soft life, soft life. So basically soft life, like you don't want stress, you don't want all that. It's okay, but Jesus didn't promise us a soft life.
Right.
He said in the world, because we are in this world, you have troubles.
Right.
You will have difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look to him, he said, fear not, I have overcome the world. So when you're going through hardship, you shouldn't run away from church. Instead, you should get closer to God and get closer to a community of people, like I said earlier, that will uplift you, that will strengthen you, okay? So just to answer your question, sis, you asked me, was I able to reach out to people or did I isolate myself,
like your family,
right? Correct?
Mm-hmm. Like your family member. Yeah.
Okay. So at home, whilst that was going on, while Dad was in the hospital, you know, the pandemic, we couldn't go out, we couldn't see anybody, I thank God, God had blessed me with people, so family members, and I have a friend who is also rooted in the Word. So at some point, did I reach out to people straight away? No. I would be lying if I did. I felt like, you know what, I just want to deal with it. It's me and God. I don't want anybody to know. But then God also taught me something. Yes, you are relying on God, but God blesses us through people.
Right.
We can't physically see God here on earth. He operates through people. So if God wants to bless you, he will bless you through somebody.
Right.
He will speak to you through his word. Yes, but there are times where at that time I didn't feel like reading my Bible because there was so much going on.
Right.
I was upset. I was angry. I was sad that why was all this going on with us, you know, happening with us? My dad was in the hospital. He was a man of God. And I had so many questions. And I just remember I spoke to a friend of mine and I shared this with her that I'm not okay. You know, dad is in the hospital. He's been in the hospital for so and so weeks. Please keep us in your prayers. And what my friend did, she knew that she couldn't handle it herself as well. There is power when we come together in unity to pray. So she reached out to a pastor of hers who I also have a relationship with, I know as well. So they were able to go on a 14 days fasting and prayer for us. So every day he will call me to check on me. How are you doing? Let's pray. Dad will be okay. Dad will come out of hospital. Don't be scared. So that kept me going.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so powerful. Oh my God, that is so powerful. Because I always wondered, you know, how you did it. Wow, that's amazing. I was just thinking the other day, I was telling myself that I knew how I overcame things. But I always like to know other people the way that they overcame certain situations, which is so powerful. And one thing that you said, there's power when we come together. You know, what about those people that actually it's not their choice? There are some people, it's not their choice not to have anybody around, that they just don't have anybody. I'm speaking from experience, you know, I was like put aside from my family for a really long time. My mom was in Africa, so in a way, apart from church, I didn't stop going to church. That's why I liked it when you said, like, continue going to church even in the middle of your storm. But I didn't have people around me that could, you know, pray with me. And I don't know. And I think it was just because also I didn't want to talk. But outside of church, I didn't have that support system. What do you think, what if you were in that situation where you don't have any friends or you don't have anybody to lean on? What would be the outcome of that?
I always say this. I know this may sound, it may sound somehow, but there is always somebody there. You may not have a whole community of friends, but there is always at least that one person in your contact that you can speak to. Now, the danger of this, though, is knowing the right person to open up to. I'm going to give an example of myself. Prior to this whole pandemic story and stuff, I was serving in the church as a pastor of, you know, I'm sorry, as a pastor's kid. Although I was serving in the church, but I actually didn't have a personal relationship with God. You know, I had people around me. My dad was a pastor and all of that, but I actually didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. All I knew was, okay, there's this Jesus that dad preaches about every Sunday, even at Bible studies. Yeah. I sing Jesus, we dance Jesus, I hear Jesus, but I actually don't have a relationship with him. So it just became like a routine for me. So I would sing and then come home, still deal with my issues, still deal with my suicidal thoughts, try to brush it under the carpet, and then go about my day. Until one day, I didn't want to speak to anybody, but I had people around me. But I was ashamed to talk about it because I was thinking about how many people would judge me. I mean, this is Sister Lydia who sings at church. Hello. Yeah. When she sings, people fall down under the anointing. How is it possible that that happens, but she doesn't have a personal revelation? So all that was going through my head, like, oh no, I cannot come out and say this. People will question me. People will, you know, laugh at me. You know, it's going to be a scandal, you know? It became too much until one day I said, you know what? I was in my room. Suicidal thoughts kept going in my mind, you know, and I actually wanted to end my life. It was at that point that I felt a voice telling me, go and speak to your dad about it. Wow. And to answer your question, sis, you may think you don't have, for anyone listening to this that's saying, okay, I don't have a church to go to. I don't have friends. I don't know who to speak to. It's at that very moment, if you just open up yourself, God can hear us. Maybe you don't know how to pray. It's okay. He knows and he hears. You know, he knows our thoughts, and he knows when we're about to say something before we even think about it. So that desire of you just, you know, wanting to have somebody, God can grant that.
Yes.
You know, I hope I'm making sense.
Yes.
So there I was in my room, although I didn't know Jesus, but he knew who I was.
Right.
And for anyone listening to this, you may tell yourself, but you're not a Christian, but you don't go to church, you don't have a relationship. You don't know him, but he knows you.
Right.
He created you. In fact, he is longing for a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
But it just starts with that desire. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to do a long prayer like a 1 hour prayer. It's a matter of the heart. God searches our heart. He sees what people cannot see.
Yes.
So you may be in that situation like I was right now, and you're listening to this podcast, if you can just let your heart speak to him. I was in my room, I was crying, I didn't know who to talk to. I had people, but the Holy Spirit, God saw that I really needed help. And he led me to go and speak to my dad. At that very moment, my brother and sisters, you're listening to this. And I pray the Holy Spirit will encourage you to come out of that prison. God is ever ready to help you. I reached out to my dad crying. And I said, Dad, I need help. I have suicidal thoughts. I have been dealing with this for a very long time. And he was even shocked to hear this. He said, how long has this been going on? And you never said anything. And this is probably you who is listening to this. You have been battling with that situation for a long time. Yes, you don't. You may think you don't have anybody, but God is there.
Yes,
he sees, he knows. He knows your pain. He sees when you can't sleep at night,
right,
when you're crying, and you know, at night, he sees it all. But he just wants you to open up to him and ask for help, and he will send help your way.
Exactly.
Wow. Yes.
Wow, that is so powerful. It's true. So if you're listening to this, God is just a call away, a word away. Prayer is powerful. And I remember I used to speak to God as if he was standing right in front of me. And I, if I look back, a lot of things that I've asked God, just like this, not even like going on my knees and closing the door, like I was sitting in my living room and I start talking to God as if he was sitting next to me. There's a lot of things that I saw it coming to pass because I just opened my heart and I'm like, you know what? I have to talk to God. And to my biggest surprise, you know, like when you spoke about you can't talk to anybody because they're looking at you like it's Sister Lydia that sings in the choir, so they might mock you. Everybody feels that way. Like, even when I was going through my depression, that's how I was feeling. I felt like I'm the only one going through this and nobody will understand. And so let me just suffer with it. But the moment as I began to talk to God and I began to make him become real, like he listens to me, he hears me, he knows even what I cannot express myself. Because when you're going through certain situations, sometimes you don't know how to explain how you feel. So he understands that. And once I began to talk to God like that, I saw people coming to me. And you just get a message from someone. Oh, you were in my heart today. So I just wanted to check up on you. Or even financially, I would have someone, I have $50 the Lord put in my heart to give it to you. And then you begin to see the supernatural of God. So that's so important to remember that God is always there, whatever you need. He can send someone your way to help you. He can send someone your way to speak to you and get you out of there. And whatever situation that we might think that we're going through, it's not new before God. We think sometimes, God, that's too big for God. There's nothing too big for God. There's like he created everything, the universe, so he can understand everything. That's so powerful.
I just want to share a verse while she was speaking. As we're talking about this, I believe this will really strengthen somebody. And if you're listening to this and you've never read the Word of God before, you don't even own a Bible, there is something that I want to share with you. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, from verse 14 to 16. Okay. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So what this verse is saying is Jesus has gone through it all.
Yes.
Remember, since when I was speaking to you earlier, I was saying that there is nothing new under the sun.
Right.
The troubles we are facing today has been faced by somebody mm-hmm. back then. Mm-hmm. The characters we read about in the Bible, they've all gone through it. You just gave me an example of Job. Yeah. Mm. Job was a man who walked with God. He had a relationship with God. But then he went through hardship. He lost everything. But yet, God was still with him. So what this verse is saying that, you know, Jesus understands the pains that we are going through. You do not need to act or try to be strong, mm-hmm. but come as you are with your yes. pain. Come yes. as you are, and yes. he will be able to help you. So I pray that really helps you out.
Amen. Yes. So our time is rushing. I really hope that we could do like more than this.
Yes. Oh,
this was so powerful. But don't you just love the fact that even in the midst of our trouble, you mm-hmm. have some kind of peace. Like if you dig deep in our heart, you would feel yes. that there is some... There's a sense of peace inside of you. You know that this is temporary and this is what God is trying to teach me. I just have to hang on. Have you ever had like a feeling like that?
Yes, yes. I've had a feeling like that. And since we're talking about my dad mainly, that was the most, you know, the biggest challenge I faced in my life. I've never imagined losing my dad. I didn't even want to imagine it. I didn't want to imagine how I was going to feel.
Right.
But when the Bible talks about, I know I keep talking about the Bible, but that's the word that keeps me going.
Mm-hmm.
It says, when you walk through fire, I will be with you.
Right.
So I used to sing about this God, that gives peace, but I never actually was not in the situation where I actually wanted, I'd experienced peace, but I experienced peace.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I lost my dad, later on, months later, mm-hmm. I got back up ministering and people were looking at me like, how is it possible? It hasn't even been a year
mm-hmm.
and you're okay. God gives us peace that the world cannot give.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I'll be encouraged today. You're listening to this podcast. Honestly, remember that God is near you. Whatever situation yes. that you're going through, God is by your side. Never give mm-hmm. up hope. If you have a pastor, if you have a youth leader or a sister in Christ that you think they're strong in the faith, speak to them. And whatever that you're going through, the solution is right next.